And when you see these parables that come into play here in Luke chapter 15, you see the parable of the lost sheep. And that is a picture of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in the salvation of a soul. You see the parable of the lost coin. And that is a picture of the work of the Holy Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit of God through the church in the salvation of a lost soul. And then you see the parable of the lost son, often referred to as the prodigal son. And that is a picture of the work of God the Father in the salvation of a lost soul. But tonight I want to look at chapter number 15, verse number 8. And the scripture says, "Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? When she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." If God would help me tonight, I just want to remind you of some things. I don't know how much ear you have to hear, but I'm going to do my best to share some with you this evening, if God will be my helper. And I want to revisit the parable of the lost coin. Having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. Well, I look at this and I look at the question that I often ask folks is, why did Jesus speak so often in parables? Some refer to parables as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Now, I realize in the simplest terms that the Lord did use parables to make his message simple so the most common and the lowly of people could understand what he was saying. But the Lord Jesus did not just use parables to make the message more simple and easy to understand. But the real reason behind why the Lord Jesus used parables was so that it would conceal the deeper spiritual meaning, so that men must rely on the work of the Holy Spirit of God to speak to hearts and make this a truly intimate, personal experience and application. You see, the beautiful, beautiful thing about the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit of God is I can stand in this pulpit and I can speak to you about one thing, and God the Holy Ghost can pin you against the wall about something entirely different. If you're hurting, God can take you in his arms and hold you tonight. And if you need it, God could back you against the wall and scold you. That's the Word of the living Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. And that is why the Lord Jesus spoke in parables, so that the Holy Spirit of God could take these simple little truths and apply them to every individual heart. When I look at this tonight, for my note takers, if you don't already have these notes, I'll give them to you fresh. I see her desperation. In today's economy, the value of the coin that was lost was only about 15 cents. Now, you already know, and if you don't know, you're fixing to find out, that coin represents a soul. And based on what I see in the average church today, that's still about the value men put on a human soul, about 15 cents. To most of us, that would hardly be worth the trouble to even look for. Boy, don't that break your heart? Not even hardly worth looking for. Pleasant Grove, I love you, and I beseech you tonight, as one that loves you, you better value the souls of men. You better value the souls of men who walk through those doors and come inside and sit on these pews that are hurt and in need of help and need to hear a word from God, need to know someone loves them and someone cares for them. And I don't know what this coin was worth to her friends and to her neighbors, but I know one thing, according to the scripture, they wasn't lined up out the door helping her look for them. But then again, it was not their responsibility. It is not the responsibility of this ungodly world to care for the lives and the souls of men. And this world has no value on the lives of your children, your grandchildren, your spouse, your neighbors, your friends, your family. And if anybody's going to reach them for Jesus Christ, it's going to be the church. And the fact was that this was a woman. She was limited in her ability to earn a living under this Jewish economy where she was in this place and time and space and history. And I'm not doing anything to belittle women tonight. I'm just saying in the place that she was, they were not the breadwinners. They were not the money earners. And to her, a woman who may have had no way of making any living, this was a tremendous amount of money, over which she had been appointed the steward, over which she found herself responsible. I got news for you. If you got children tonight, you're a steward over the souls of those children. Now, I know this, you ain't going to swing from the chandeliers, and folks ain't going to want to hear this. There's some people somewhere in your little world, in your little circle, God's made you responsible for. Why 10 coins? 10's the number of completion. 10's the number of wholeness. 10 in the Ten Commandments is simply a summation of the law of God. And it represents God's complete and God's divine order. And as far as the church is concerned, and as far as Pleasant Grove Missionary Baptist Church is concerned, as long as there's just 9 coins, there's something missing. And I thank God for the 9. But why you want to miss one? I thank God for the ones that are saved, the ones that are in. But why would we want to miss one? And I see the alienation and the separation of the coin. This coin separated from the rest. We see this coin as a hopeless, helpless picture of lost humanity, where a cold, dead, inanimate object can do absolutely nothing to improve its lost condition. This coin cannot be shiny enough. It cannot be big enough. It cannot be clean enough. It cannot be pretty enough. It cannot be valuable enough. It cannot be intrinsic enough. It cannot do one thing to help its condition. That is an absolute picture of Adam's fallen race. And if there's any man, woman, boy, or girl under the sound of my voice tonight that's unregenerate without the grace of God, I've got news for you on your own. You're just a lost coin. And if somebody don't come looking for you, you're out of business, honey. There ain't one thing you can do to help yourself. And I'm glad God Almighty established the local church to be a place to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ, where there could be a place where a man could stand and have the backing of the people and be full of the Holy Ghost of God and thunder the truths of the Word of God and give the gospel to somebody in need. And it is our responsibility to get that gospel to this lost and dying world. Because this lost and dying world is alienated and separated from the other 9, and they can't help themselves. The only thing this coin could do is lie hopeless and helpless in despair in the darkness of some obscure corner of this house until she puts forth an effort to find it. I don't know what that does for you, but God give us a mandate, church. There's sinners out there, and God expects us to go get them. Jesus said in John 6:44, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I'll raise him up at the last day. It's the work of the Holy Ghost of God, but the Holy Ghost of God inhabits the lives and the hearts of believing children of God in the New Testament church, and that's what God uses to go get sinners. I see the alienation and the separation, and then I see her determination. The Word of God saith, doth not light a candle? He asked the question, does she not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it? And as I look in my mind's eye, I see this woman down on her hands and knees, willing to do whatever it takes to find this lost coin. But I do realize and understand the Word of God said, sweep the house. And I realize before we're going to be very effectual and before we're going to have much effect on anybody else, we're going to have to sweep out our own house. We're going to have to clean up our own selves. We're going to have to be in right relation. And we're going to have to be in a right place in fellowship with God before we can be any help to anybody. And that is why it is so important for us as God's little children to walk with a humble heart before God and stay just as close as you can stay, so the Holy Ghost of God can use you at a moment's notice. And she was willing to do whatever she needed to do. And I can just see her in my mind's eye, down on her hands and knees, Brother Danny looking under the bed, looking wherever she could look, under the furnishings, and sweeping and cleaning and getting the dust out of the way so she could say, there may be some things you need to get out of the way in your life before you'll ever be able to see a sinner. There may be some things God requires you to deal with. Well, I told you you wouldn't swing from the chandeliers. I see the alienation, I see the separation, and I see her determination. And I do see divine illumination. Verse number 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle. You realize as well as I do tonight that in the New Testament scripture, the New Testament church has a candlestick. There's a lot of places all over this nation that put up a 4x8 sheet of plywood out front and call themselves a church, but they're no more a church than I am the man on the moon. That don't make you a church just because you put up a sign out front. What makes you a church? It is that presence, the manifest presence of the Holy Ghost of God that is the candlestick where the light is held in the New Testament church. And the Word of God said, if she lose one piece, doth light a candle. And I realize according to 2 Corinthians 4:3, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Matthew 5:13, the Lord Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth, and if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. That's where most churches that I see today are. They're worthless. They're of no value. If you want a social club, well, join the Kiwanis Club or something other. But that's what the church has turned to in so many places. They're worthless, good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. But Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. And he said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. I'm not going to get into in the house tonight, but I'm telling you that God gave the gospel power to the New Testament local church. We've got the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in the darkest shadows of obscure religion in churches all across America tonight, men can detach from the reality of the cross of Calvary. And through darkened and perverted eyes, unregenerate men can see a historical man named Jesus that died to fulfill some tedious religious ritual, but they never seem to see the real Christ, and they never, ever see themselves. But the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ illuminates the grace of God. But the real gospel in power illuminates the hearts of men so that men could see how desperately lost and needy they really are, and how bad they really need hope, and how bad they really need help. Listen, there's no shortage in Fairview, North Carolina. There's no shortage in Asheville, North Carolina, of people living in depravity and darkness and people that need help. There's a shortage of people that know it. And that's why they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the power of the blessed Holy Ghost of God through the preaching of the Word of God transcends worlds beyond and comes to the heart of an individual and begins to deal with that heart and awaken them and show them their need for Jesus Christ. I got news for you. I love the preaching of this word, but you may not be a preacher tonight, but if you're saved, really born again, you've got a testimony of the saving grace of God, and your testimony is a profound source of light. You say, well, I don't know if I believe all that or not. Well, I'll tell you what, you go to John chapter 9, and you see a little old blind boy, and while you're looking at that blind boy, his mom and dad is in a ruckus with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they're just all wadded up in a knot somewhere because this little old boy that used to be blind, begging by the road, now can see. And they're trying to make this fit in their theological mold somewhere and trying to make a fool out of Jesus. And they're not going to be able to do it. And they finally hem this boy up and they say, you give God glory. You give God glory. You know this man's a sinner. And you know what that little old blind boy said to them? He said, whether this man's a sinner or not, I know not. He said, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I can see. You may not be a preacher of the gospel, but you need to be able to look at those around you with the authority of the Holy Ghost of God and say, I can't tell you a lot, but I can tell you one thing. I was blind by the roadside begging, and Jesus came by, and now I can see. And if that's all you ever tell somebody, if they see it in your life, you're giving light. I'm a firm believer that any man, woman, boy, or girl that's ever been born of the Spirit of God, you need to be able to stand up and articulate what God did for you. Now, you may not have the most flowery language. You may not even have the most biblical terms. You may not even know how to explain it in a theological way. But if God's ever saved you, you ought to be able to give a testimony. Can I just go ahead and make two or three uncomfortable right here? The beginning of your testimony is not when did you get saved. That ain't where your testimony begins, is it, Miss Sheila? It begins with when did you get lost. Hey, when did you get lost? Because you ain't going to get lost by yourself. That's the work, the illuminating work of the Holy Ghost of God. And God's people have a testimony of when you got lost. I'm not talking about when you got born into this world with a depraved nature. I'm talking about when God supernaturally revealed to you you was in trouble. That's part of your testimony. This is the condemnation, John 3:19, that light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And I find there's a lot of folks in this world that they love religion, but they hate light. A lot of folks love religion. They just don't want no light. Buddy, when folks has got a real, real testimony. I was telling you about revival breaking out in Ashe County a few years ago. There's one little old girl, some of her family got saved, and they got gloriously born of the Spirit of God. And her sister was a Sunday school teacher, and her sister testified of how God troubled her soul, and her son and her daughter had got saved on a Saturday night, and she had been up all Saturday night and couldn't sleep and up early in the wee hours of the morning. And she said, I should have known something was wrong. I was up in the wee hours of the morning coloring in a coloring book, trying to do something to ease my mind. And she said the whole time God was speaking to my heart saying, you're lost, you're lost, you're lost. And she said I couldn't do nothing but try to get saved, saved, saved. And her sister was a member of the same church, a worker in the church, did everything in the church but be born again. And I remember a night or two later, her sister standing up back here, Miss Lloyd, she stood right there and tried to give a testimony. And I talked to my wife later, and I said, that little old gal testifying tonight's under conviction, and what she was trying to do is get God off of her by giving some little old testimony, because it had no power. It didn't have no juice on it. It didn't have no God on it. She's just trying to say something, get God to leave her alone. But I do remember just a night or two later, while God was moving in power, I walked in the back door and walked toward the front, and there's a bunch of ladies over here in a little vestibule at another door on the other side of the church down in the floor before service, a squalling and a crying, and that little old girl tried to testify God off of her, and she got saved in the floor in front of the bathrooms. And oh, you know what? There's a lot of folks love religion, but they ain't in love with real light, because real light makes them real uncomfortable. Well, I'm glad God gets folks uncomfortable from time to time. And finally, I see her celebration. Verse 9 says, and when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, I'm not really going to get into the deeper theological parts about this tonight, but that scripture did not say that the angels rejoiced. It said there was rejoicing in the presence of the angels. I believe God Almighty rejoices when one sinner repents. There is a rejoicing that takes place. Why? Because God's got so much invested in this thing. He gave His only begotten Son to bleed and die on the cross of Calvary. And I believe it tickles the heart of God to see somebody get born into the family of God. And I believe it's a heartbeat of the church to hear the cries of a newborn baby. And I believe that does something for the church. And I believe in the family of God, the church knows what it means to be found, because the church knows what it means to be lost. You see, you can't get excited about something being found if you ain't never been lost. But I can get excited over somebody getting found, because I know what it is to be lost. And I know the scripture says that God inhabits the praise of Israel. And I believe tonight God inhabits the praise of His people. And I believe when God does something in our presence, we ought to rejoice and thank Him and glorify Him and magnify Him. And Miss Sheila, don't you ever stop. Don't even slow down magnifying Him for what He's done in you, because it's the light God give you to shine. And all I know to say is let her shine, because He is worthy, Brother Danny. He sure is worthy. And if you're saved and got a testimony of the grace of God in your heart, let her shine. There's been so many times in my life that I struggled because my testimony was messed up and I was holding on to a profession that I made as a little 12-year-old boy that had no power, because I didn't get saved when I was a 12-year-old boy and God wasn't going to bear witness to a lie. But man, I got that thing settled in my heart about when God really saved me, and I came back to North Carolina, was in a tent meeting in Seagrove, North Carolina. God really put it in my heart if I was going to be obedient to God and ever have God's blessing on my life and my ministry, I was going to have to go approach my pastor and tell him I need to be scripturally baptized because I didn't get saved when I said I did. I got saved later. And I went to my pastor and I followed God and was obedient. And Brother Danny, it's just almost like I got saved all over again because then I had power in my testimony. My testimony began to mean something. And I could tell my testimony everywhere I went. We left Seagrove, North Carolina, left North Carolina, went back to Wyoming, went to a little place, wound up in Basin, Wyoming, and I never will forget. God put it in my heart. Miss Lori, I preached for a solid year on my salvation testimony, a solid year. And I remember going out to the city park, I mean just out in the middle of Wyoming, Highway 16, going into Yellowstone Park. And there was a FedEx driver, FedEx or UPS, FedEx driver stopped to have lunch in the city park. And I walked all over town, spent my time out just meeting people and greeting people. And I was there at the park getting, we had some guests and we were going to have a little picnic. And I was there in the park, began to talk to this FedEx driver, and before I knew what happened, listen, if you got a salvation testimony, if you try to walk with God just a little bit, the Holy Ghost of God will open the door and give you opportunities to give. How do you know when God's giving you an opportunity to do that? When he puts it on your heart and he'll shut people's mouth. And it's almost like the angels of heaven just cock their head around and hold their ear out, just want to hear what you've got to say. And you are very much consciously aware of the fact that you've got somebody's ear. God began to let me share my salvation testimony of that FedEx driver. Never seen him before, never seen him since. But I told him how a preacher's kid made a little old false profession as a 12-year-old boy and didn't really get saved, and how I'd lived a wicked life, and God in his mercy had come around and brought me to a place of salvation. First thing I know, that FedEx driver was sitting there with his head bowed, and all of a sudden, Brother Danny's lunch wasn't interested no more. Fighting back tears, he finally stood up and he said, "I guess I see why I'm in such a mess." Turned around, got in his FedEx truck and drove off. That's all I could do that day was give him my testimony. But Almighty God saw fit that a FedEx driver in Basin, Wyoming got to hear the gospel through my testimony. He never sat down, never walked through the doors of my little church in Basin Baptist Church. But God let me share with him in a public park what God did in my life. I'm telling you, God gave those coins as a responsibility to the local church. We better do something with the responsibility God gave us tonight.